Take your Bibles if you haven't got one, just watch the screen. But I want to read from Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 and verse 15. I've called this in love with a person, because that's what it's all about, of being captured by the love of Jesus and then getting to know his love and to know his care and to know his concern and to know that you can have a living, pulsating, alive, dynamic relationship with the Son of God. That's the offer. He says, come to me with your sin and your messed up lives and all your, you know, the crazy stuff in your life, and come to me. All you who are thirsty, come to me. And if you come to me, you will never thirst again. And I think in my own heart and life, what a difference knowing Jesus has made. What an amazing thing. I can hardly believe it that I got in on this. Seems that I would be knowing in my own heart of hearts, I would have thinking, well, I was close, but I wasn't into it. I was behind the door when the good stuff was given out. Or as somebody said, they were waiting for their ship to come in. Unfortunately, they were at the airport. So I think that we could see many things. But with this, from the day that he put his hand upon me, to this day today, I am deliriously in love with him. He's the hound of heaven. He haunts us and trails after us, you know, padding all over our picnics and parties and gatherings, tracking us down until he finally gets close enough. See, I always tell people, don't get too near Jesus. Don't get too near Jesus, because if and when you do, he'll let you get closer and closer. Then he'll just grab you. And he will grab you and pull you to himself. And if you don't want that, then don't get too close. Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more you'll experience his love. How many know that's true? Absolutely true what I'm saying. The Lord gets a hold of us. And we're never quite the same. Oh, we can try to be the same, but we're not. We know we belong to Jesus. And there's an old hymn that used to be, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for a time alone, but for eternity. This is not just a little thing that fades away. This is something that keeps us today, gives us eternal life today, and gives us eternal life, and we live forever and ever and ever. I mean, in other words, all this and heaven too. All that God would give us, and then thrown in heaven as an extra thing. But nothing can beat the love of Jesus. And you will search high and low, and you will be forever on a search looking for that one thing. And that one thing is not a thing, it's a person. It's not about religion. Let me read now what Paul said in Galatians 6. But far be it from me to boast. He said, I'm not going to boast about anything. Not about my religion, not about my past, not about my training. But I will boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I am to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. This thing, when Jesus comes into your heart, it's no longer about the rules and regulations. It's about this person living within us. See, the gospel lays in the person of Jesus. It's not about joining. There's nothing to join. There's nothing to do, in a way, except surrender. It lies in the person of Jesus. When we say the gospel, we're going to preach the gospel. Listen, the gospel is a person. It's not a teaching. It's not a, you know, it's a person. And what a person. What an amazing person Jesus is. See, it's not about religion. How many times, no matter how often we say that, it still gets people off onto religion. Things get them onto religion. I don't know how it works, but how I've said over and over, countless times, I want to tell you that this is not like a job. This is a relationship. A relationship. It's about a person, a personal relationship. And so Jesus himself is the good news. What's the good news? It's Jesus. And that's why we sing about this and why we celebrate and why we have gatherings like of this nature, because Jesus is the reason for the season. We're reminding ourselves that he came to this world to give himself for us. So I think it's a wonderful discovery, at least it has been in my life, that my task as a person, not as a pastor, that doesn't matter too much, but my task, this wonderful discovery, my task is to live for Jesus and to present him whenever possible, because you can't always do this, but whenever possible that you would present him and to be able to say, can I tell you about Jesus? The greatest person who's ever lived. Nobody, see, the thing about it, you can never prove Jesus wrong because everything he did is good. Everything he taught is good. Every direction he gave is good. Gave his life, gave everything, just always giving. What are you going to find fault with him? There's nothing to find fault with Jesus. He's the perfect Son of God. And so when we present that, we don't have to be embarrassed for his teachings. We don't have to be embarrassed about what he said or did, because people are still talking about 2,000 years later about what he said and what he did. And so our job is to live for him with your eyes and heart focused on him and being always wary if you find yourself drifting. This is the one thing that you have to guard, because in the way the world works, you'll end up with religion again. You'll end up with rules. You'll end up with regulations. You have to guard it and fight for this so that it doesn't ever. Our task, our focus is a person who loves us and gives his life for us. Oh, did he ever? How wonderful. So we define Christianity. I don't even like using the word when I talk about Christianity, but it has to be used, I suppose. It's defined as Christ Jesus. Again, not a religion. I'm not a follower of a church council. Jesus is more important than anything going on in this building. He's the focal point of it all. Not a religion, not a church council, not a creed, not a denomination, but a real person. A real person. And when we get up in the morning or when we're going by the way and we say, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Why? Because you first loved me. How beautiful. That this becomes the focal point of your life. Again, not the full gospel church, but Jesus. Knowing that you can't get any better denominations. There's nothing wrong with our group. There's nothing wrong with our title. There's nothing wrong with anything with it in it, per se in itself, except that it's not what it's about. It's about falling in love with a person and growing that relationship. And so that it draws you closer and closer and closer and closer. It stuns me and staggers me. Because all these years, you kind of think you would have run the ending to it, right? You kind of think, well, we pretty well talked this out and pretty well had enough Bible studies now. No, I don't know about you, friend, but I can say for myself is that Jesus gets better and better and better. The older I get, the more I find myself in love with him. Nobody has loved me. My wife deeply loves me, but it pales into comparison to how much the Savior loves me. And as I get older, it's kind of a thing, you say, well, in those days we used to believe this or we used to do that. Well, you can say that if you want to, but my taking is this, it just gets better. Just when I thought it couldn't be my sense of it, my feel of it, my love of the Lord, him sensing his love in my life, him seemed to be drawing me closer and closer, I thought, oh, man, this is the best thing ever. This is nothing. My heart aches for people who say, well, I'm not so sure about then it's not Jesus. Because Jesus is very hard. Matter of fact, I think even in terms of salvation, is that, you have to climb over Jesus to go to hell. You might go to hell, but you have to crawl over him because he blocks the exits. He holds up the doors so that you find it very, very difficult. You can try, but his love prevails. I'm delirious. I thank him. And I'm not expecting this to get worse. I'm expecting this to get better and I'll tell you why in a couple of moments here. But there's a great story in Matthew 17, verse 1 to 8, where Jesus takes the disciples up to what is called the Mount of Transfiguration. And as he takes them up there, there's an appearance. And this appearance is just that Jesus says, now look at this. And there's Moses, and there's Elijah, and there's Jesus. And I wrote here that the Jewish heart of Peter wanted to keep all three there, all three of them, and put them on the same level. Three tabernacles. And a voice from heaven, excuse me, spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And Jesus is presented. And I made this statement, the law represented by Moses and the prophets mentioned by Elijah are fulfilled in Jesus. Hear him. That's what Jesus says, hear him. That God says, hear him. They saw no man save Jesus only. What a great picture. When the cloud ended, when the smoke cleared, what are they looking at? Jesus. Not looking at religion. What a great time they could have plugged in with that. They could have really gone places with that. But they didn't. He filled their horizon, and he must fill ours. When they looked on the scope of their horizons of their life, it's important that we see Jesus only. Not Jesus plus, Jesus only. And when somebody adds something else to it, or includes something else to it, or a way of living to go with it, we can be wary of it, because it's like this. He said, he fills our horizons that we see Jesus only, not Jesus plus. And so he fills our horizons and our hearts. And I came across that you might have some insight on this, but as far as I can calculate in my thinking, that I can actually apply the term Savior to Jesus, because, and you can do your homework on this, but there is no religion in the world that offers a saviorship. No one. They don't even claim to. I mean, that's not even an important thing to them. We offer a Savior, Christ the Lord. This day in the city of David, Christ the Savior. And we say, a Savior, come to save us. No other religion comes to save anybody. You must save yourself. You must do this and this and this and this. But we're offered a saviorship. And I thought, oh, how fantastic is that? No other religious leader makes the claim of saviorship. And so this present moment that we're in, Jesus is saying, and he says so at many different levels, but on one human level, he says, your sins are forgiven. What a Lord. Which ones? All of them. All of my sins are forgiven? When did that take place? Well, 2,000 years ago. But it's true. So he says, first of all, your sins are forgiven. Now, if that was not enough to get us thinking and laughing and rejoicing, and no wonder we sing. How could we not? It just compels us to. Your sins are forgiven. That's the first thing. As well as receive ye the Holy Spirit. Wow. Forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. He not only saves us, he baptizes us. He said, and he tells us that that's what's going to happen. Well, so I can ask you a question. What has Christ Jesus done for you lately? What has he done for you lately? Because this is the Savior that we just marvel at, amazed at. And so, as I say, well, he saved me from sin. In the city of David, a Savior is born, and I received him. And he's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit, and that has happened and can happen. How wonderful, as if there was something else needed. Well, sin's forgiven, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Wow. Forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit. And so, regards to the resurrection, we can keep on moving with these various truths and thoughts. Jesus rose above life by the resurrection. Sin and death have been addressed. In John 11:25, you know what I like? We don't do this, but in Anglican services and different services that are a bit more formal, when we're all, the priest says, "Rise, please," and there's that, they walk in, there's thump, 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 as it, right? And this voice says it, and I just don't do it right, but I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, boy, that's great, eh? Not fantastic? So, yes, yes, you are. We need to put something into our services a bit like that. I am the resurrection and the life. That's right. He's alive, and he is the life. All life comes from him. And how powerful, how wonderful. Sin and death dealt with. The Holy Spirit given. Resurrection life given to us. And so we're saved not by going to church or anything. We're saved because a person has come into our hearts. We invited Christ into our hearts. Very practical. When we say, is there anybody here today that would like to receive Jesus as Savior? You'd like to have a personal relationship with him. I marvel that people hesitate. Are you out of your mind? This is the best offer you're ever going to get. Nowhere is your course of your life, sir, ma'am, nowhere will it ever be better than this offer. Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And when we say yes, when we say, Lord, Lord, I come, broken, bent, misshapen, all the things. Should I bring the lot? Bring the mess. What kind of a Savior is this? He says, yeah, just bring it. I don't care about that. I don't care how much you've sinned. I died for all of your sin regardless of what you say. But I can't come like this. I'm a mess. Come just as you are. I'm a Savior who accepts you where you are. We meet Christ in the moment, in that moment, that wonderful, glorious moment where he breaks into our life. And I don't feel that I'm saved because I made a right choice. I probably could have missed that altogether. I'm saved because he made himself so compelling. It's wonderful and continues to be wonderful. I'm saved by a person, and only by one person who appeared in this world. And we bless him for that. And so our message this Christmas season is Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. And as E. Stanley Jones coined that, where he had at all of his ashrams, there was this sign. They would greet each other. And I've been at an ashram, and if you're praying in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock and you're heading for the washroom or someplace, you're not supposed to talk, right? It's an idea not to talk, just to pray. And so they would do this. And this was the Christian motto for E. Stanley Jones, who, by the way, in the 1930s, was Time Magazine called him the greatest living missionary in the world has ever seen. That's in the 30s. It's amazing, right? Anyway, but he has this, Jesus is Lord. That's what it stood for. Jesus is Lord. So we just make that declaration. What is he? He's Lord. He's my Lord. Jesus is Lord. I would love to be sitting somewhere where somebody would, on a plane or somewhere, somebody would just turn. And that'd be great, wouldn't it? Say, yeah, sure. Be careful. Make sure you get the fingers right, but... But that's, you want to be rude, but it's Jesus is Lord. And so, the words of Jesus, when he says, I'm the life, and I love Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where he says, all you who are hungry and thirsty, come to me. Are you burnt out? Are you overwhelmed? Are you discouraged beyond belief? You've fallen backwards into old patterns. I don't know what else it could be. The words of the Lord are so right on, spot on. All you who are thirsty, come. Just come. That's the kind of a Lord we're dealing with here. Is it any wonder we fall in love with him? He's the best Savior ever. We fall. And see, and that's what went wrong, right? Or right. We accepted him. We invited him to come into our lives. And now we spend the rest of our life, A, getting to know him, and B, being willing to share him. Because it can't be kept to ourselves, I don't think. It must be at some point. He died for us. He is the unspeakable. That is true. He is unspeakable. You run out of words. You run out of thoughts. Jesus is the unspeakable one. The unspeakable gift. And Peter tells us that. And he says, joy that is inexpressible. What a statement. There's no words to describe the magnitude of Christ Jesus the Lord. He's unspeakable and he's inexpressible. You say, well, I can say yes, and then what will you say? You will be stunned and staggered thinking of something else to say, because there's got to be more words to describe this, the living Christ who has come to lay hold of us. And we say, and what do we end up? All we can say, friends, all we can say is, I love you. I love you. I love you. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I love you. You were inexpressible. You were unspeakable. We can do our best. We can try to put together some thoughts of a song. We might be able to give some kind of testimony. But even that, when you say, he saved me, he forgave me for all my sins, he baptized me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he watches over me, he's perfecting me, he's coming back for me, he is the healer, he is the Lord, he is the master. Oh boy, I ran out of words. I ran out of words, Lord, I'm sorry. It's just that I can't think of enough, except I love you. I love you. You see, our chief business and our chief joy really is to introduce men and women in this community to Christ Jesus. Boy, it's tough in the sense that in a kind of a world like ours, people don't believe in much. Matter of fact, they don't believe in the truth, so they believe in everything but the truth. But when we are called upon, if the opportunity ever, don't, here's the thing. Don't defend Christianity. Don't defend that. It's indefensible. A lot of bad things have happened through Christianity. That's the truth. There is terrible things. Don't defend Christianity. Don't defend the Western Church. That's enough said about that. But you can always tell about who Jesus is. If you're at a party this next couple of weeks here, and you get an opportunity, and just somehow somebody says something about Jesus, and in a kind and gentle way, to tell them of the difference he's made in your life, and why you love him, and why it's not about religion, it's about relationship. Always has been, always will be. And the minute we get away from that, we're always just in trouble over and over again, trying to defend something, you know, TV evangelists or this or that or the other, or things that have happened. But imagine the joy if you see. I think it's never. I was saying this morning, and I guess it was in the prayer room. It's never about the size of the harvest. It's about the size of the seeds that have been planted. And when we introduce people, men and women, mostly what we do is we just drop seeds. We tell people what Jesus has meant to us. And we tell how I too was like this, or I too was like that. And then this happened and that happened. and I've come to know him. And you just drop some seeds. And we're not responsible for getting people saved. You know that, right? If they get saved, it's not because of us. It's because the Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts and dragged them to Jesus. But our job, see, we're in charge of sales, not management. Our job is just to make sure the seeds have dropped in the right place, not to see if everybody's been converted. I know they haven't been, but what a thing if we're able to introduce our chief business, and we see that in your heart, you can't always share. Right? There's not every moment is a teachable moment, but many are. And, oh my goodness, I tell this story every single year. Everybody's tired of it, but I will never forget. The only time we've ever been away in 29 years, people haven't let me forget that either, but that's another story. At Christmas time, we went away, and we walked into this church, and the minister was there, and I literally prayed for him. I said, oh, Lord, this is not, 1,500 people in the church probably. They said, he's not ever going to be, this is one, this, he's not going to see these people till Easter. And the service started, and the brass band kicked up, and the music was there, and the poinsettias were there. It was magnificent. And then he says, and then they called him for it to give the homily. And I thought, oh, God, bless this man. What an opportunity he has. What an opportunity he has to get it right. He's got a captive audience here. And Val and I were sitting there watching and wondering what he was going to say. I was so depressed. That was the worst sermon I'd ever heard. He said, Jesus had friends. He had friends. We all need friends, don't we? Mary was a friend. And there were just all kinds of crazy things. And I'm saying in my heart, friends? This is the message. I think, oh, he's going to maybe wrap it up with that. No, I never did. Never once mentioned about a Savior. Never once mentioned this love of Christ is inexpressible and unspeakable. Not a word. It was just we should put friends, find some friends. I thought, I got friends. It's not my greatest need. It's not your greatest need. I need a Savior. And those people drifted into the night, never hearing one single solitary thought about the Savior. And I thought, man, if you would have given me that opportunity, sir, I might have been weeping by the time I finished it, but it would be something. They need to be told about the love of God in Christ Jesus, this powerful Lord who comes. So if our chief joy is to introduce men and women to Jesus, then we have to be close to Jesus, right? Because people rub against us. We rub against each other. And in the community, wherever else we go, we rub against. We don't always get a chance, but many times we can. And it's not a religious moment. It's a practical moment where you're just talking about how having a personal faith in Jesus makes a difference. So to know him and to introduce him, that's our task. And this coming year, we've got this opportunity to drop seeds in people's lives wherever we can, but we might know him. And just trust and pray that somehow that this thing is, you know the thing about the gospel, it's quite sneezable. Achoo! You can get close enough to people. Probably the wrong season to be talking about sneezing in somebody's face. But it's sneezable, like it can spread very quickly. As the man who led me to Christ, I just came across that in my journal the other day. I said, Sam Sherrard died. He died just about a year ago. And he had led me to the Lord. And he got close enough that it was sneezable. And my sister and I both, I told you that millions of times. So to know him, to introduce him, why? Because of his love. And this is not a religious thing. Do we have to witness? Do we have? No, not if you don't want to. But if somehow you can't stop because you have felt his love over and over and over and over and over again, that he's forgiven you for everything you've ever done, past, present, or future. If that Lord doesn't make us share with him, what in the world would? And we don't have to rush into people's life. Are you saved, brother? I don't think that's what it calls for. It calls to tell people that this God loves them and died for them. Wow. And so, you know, it's kind of funny. This morning as I was walking over to the church, it's a short walk, but I was singing, "Oh, Victory in Jesus." You know the one I'm talking about? We're not going to sing it, and I'm not going to sing it, so relax. But, you know, "Oh, Victory in Jesus." Yeah, yeah. Okay, you remember that? I was singing that this morning. I didn't even choose that. It just kind of came to me. And I thought, victory, victory, victory. Yes, there's victory in Jesus. There really is. Last summer, I was at St. Simon's summer camp. It was an ashram kind of a thing that they run. Ed Hurd, you all know who he is. But I learned something there. When everybody came for the first night, it was like a Bible camp for us. It was kind of like a Bible camp, Cowichan or something like that. And the first hour of it, as it were, we were in a circle. I was one of the guest speakers. So we were in a circle, and we were to ask three questions to each other. That was what we were required. We were asked to do. So we're all in three circles. All the people that were there. So we're all in circles. And they said, "Now we're going to ask you three questions. Here it is. Number one, why have you come today?" He said, why have you come? That's the question. Second question, what do you want? What do I want? That's a good question. Third question, there's only three in the night. What do you really need? Number one, why have you come? Number two, what do you want? Number three, what do you really need? And I hope I haven't murdered those questions from Brother Ed. Because I think I'd like to ask that this morning. Maybe you'd like to come forward and just stand in his presence. I don't know what you want to do, but it would be a good thought. And we can say, we don't even have to ask, that's just what happened at a Bible camp, but just say, what do you want? Why did you come this morning? That's a good thing. Why did you come this morning? Did you come to meet Jesus in a greater way? Because he'll meet you right as you come, right? We know that. That's wonderful. What do you want? What do you want? Boy. Because this is something that Jesus is asking, right? What do you want? Come unto me. What do you want? And thirdly, what do you really need? See, as we sat in that circle, and then we were invited to share, if we wanted to share one of those three questions as to why we'd come, what our need was, or what we want, rather, and what do we really need. And the idea was to introduce Jesus that as the one who can meet that need. And so here we are. We've got a few minutes left here. I thought maybe all right if we just invited anybody who wanted to come and just to come and stand here, and we'll point at a few other people just to come and pray over you. Because if you've come here this morning, see, Jesus is alive. He's not a dead Savior. He's a live Savior. He is here. When two or three gather together in my name, I am, you know, mighty in the midst of thee. So he's here. I know he's here. He's here to touch hearts. And maybe you'd like to come, and we'll just call this the end of our service, but just stand in a need. Yeah. You okay? I shake too much. Oh, you shake too much anyway. Okay.
Good morning.
This is Jose.
I'm Jose. I've been coming here for quite a few years, and I came today. Well, I come here every Sunday. Sometimes I miss it because of work. Came today here because I was empty. And I pray, you know, every day. But today was something. The mother of my daughter had cancer a year ago, And we just found out last Saturday night that she has cancer in the bone, the liver, and the brain. And I came here because closer to, I guess, to the brothers and Pastor Ron. That's why I came, because I was empty. I don't feel anything. What's the other one again? What do I want?
You can follow my notes.
Oh, I'm sorry. What do I want? Yeah. I want him to hear me, you know, with the fellowship, with the brothers and sisters. And what do I need? I don't need anything from God. He gives me everything I want. Just...
You're feeling empty.
You know, I'm just empty.
Would somebody like to come and just pray over Jose? You know what? It's just to see, you know, you go home and say, "Wow, I felt the love of the saints." And amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
You may not feel it. You might feel empty, but he's there. He's with you all the way.
Yeah.
You can be sure.
Lord, we're glad that you brought Jose here today. And this is the best place to be when faced with a crisis like his family is facing. And we just pray for him that you'd wrap your arms around him. And he'd go out of here with a sense of being full, that the Lord has heard his cry. And we pray for his family, Lord, that you would touch them, even this day. It's a bad news day. We pray, God, that you cover them with your love. Thank you, Lord. Anybody from the audience just want to lift your voice if there was something on your heart? Amen. Thanks, Jose. That's just we love you. We're grateful for you. Amen. If you see Jose on the way out, make sure you give him a hug. Amen. Anybody else? You're just here. That's just a kind of a moment there, but it might be a few others. We still got a few minutes. Anybody here? And you just say, you can just write from where you are if you want, but. You want to say, okay, wherever you, is this one on? I don't know. I got the same with microphones. I'll just put it in my shirt or something.
that working? There we are. There we are. Keep it close.
I'm here this morning. I just want the Lord to know that I love very much. What I need from him is to make a way for me to get close to him. I have been going through a journey that I have never been before. And I'm finding it difficult some days, even to get in touch with my own feelings. So I want the Lord to give me a breakthrough. That I'm able to love him and worship him and declare his mightiness in our lives. That I'm able to, that he's able to shine his light in me and through me, because the hours are short. He is coming back very soon, and we have to be prepared face to face with the Lord, whether we're alive or when we exit earth. Either way, we'll see him face to face.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? You can just stay around. You don't have to. You can stay there if you want, but we'll take one or two more. You just need prayer this morning, or you'd maybe not. Maybe you're not here. Maybe you're all well, which is good. There are so many of the hymns that we sing. Remember that old song, "Isn't the Love of Jesus Something Wonderful?" We don't sing any of those anymore, but boy, the truth of those were always about the love of Jesus, pretty well. Yes, as the years go by, yes. Yeah. And it's true, just fantastically, unspeakably true. And you see, we must continue to grow in our love for him. It's not just reached it. I guess just keep on growing and being transformed by the love of Christ. So we're more like Jesus, 5 years from now than we were today. We mustn't stay just in a stagnant position, that's for sure. Anybody else just want to say something? If then we have, maybe we freaked you out in our thoughts here. So we'll pray and then you can have some coffee. That's good. But it's good to hear from people this morning. Think about that. Whenever we come together, there's a reason why we've come. And there's usually a need. And sometimes what we need and what we want are different things, but it's the Lord is present. And so loves you. Let's pray. Father, and thank you for putting your hand even on Anita, Lord, and her knee just as it had been, as she'd worked her way through this year. We just pray that you would strengthen her and help her and hold her and sustain her. And may her love for you, Lord, continue just to explode inwardly and outwardly. And we thank you for her. We thank you that she's part of Valley Church, and we bless you. And so, Lord, for each person here, some probably didn't feel comfortable in sharing in a bigger, in an older, wider audience like this. So I just pray that you'll come to them, and all through this day that they would be just conscious of this beautiful love of Jesus. And we'll thank you and give you praise and honor and glory in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Please come for some coffee and fellowship. The weather's good, and no rain yet, so we're glad you're here. Make sure you say hello to Nigel and Clark if you can.